Hi City Life family, hope you've had a lovely holiday time during the summer there, and now we start the autumn term with a new teaching series, and I'm kicking it off on the subject of prayer, which, to be honest, I feel a little bit daunted by, a little bit humbled to be speaking on this sort of subject, because I'm by no means an expert and I've had quite a lot of grapplings with it all. But as well as it being a vast subject and I could have started anywhere, I've decided to tell you some of my personal journey with it at the moment, because essentially prayer is a personal journey, isn't it, for each and every one of us. It's our relationship with God, and at the very bones of it, our prayer lives will show us how deep our relationship with God is and how our connection is with him and how strong our desire is for him, because it is about our communication with him. And we know that every good relationship requires good communication, so a relationship with God involves good prayer, a good prayer life. And I think when I think about that, how strong is mine, how strong is yours, the question can be very intimidating. It starts a slight little panic in my heart. If I didn't know that in Jesus there's no condemnation, I might feel very condemned. And then of course people talk about intimacy with God. People tell me about that a lot. They tell me that I will have an intimate relationship with God, and it communicates to me this sort of otherworldly feeling and relationship that some have managed to attain with God, and I surely should have attained something like that now, but I'm not sure that I have, and I wonder if I ever have. So these things are baffling to me sometimes. And then there's the issue of corporate prayer. How important is our relationship with God together? How strong is our faith and expectation when we come together in prayer? I wonder. Our individual and corporate relationship with God and one another should fuel every decision and the trajectory of our lives in any one time or season. And I wonder, is this happening? Is this what it's like? I wonder. There's certainly room for us all to grow, isn't there? So I hope today that some of my thoughts will inspire you to keep going, get going, rediscover some new things about the topic of prayer. So to let you in on some of my thoughts and feelings on it, I'm going to include my journal entry now from the 5th of May, where I'm grappling with this subject. Usually I've met with Rich first, and then I think about a lot of things afterwards. And this is what happened just after a meeting with him, and I started to write the next day. So it starts, my journal entry starts with a chat with the Father. So we'll call that my prayer. How can we discover a desire for corporate prayer that makes it the most desirable place to be, a corporate prayer gathering, that is? Because that's what it needs to be, and everything else is pointless without that. Because if we're not hearing and impacting this world with your will and purposes, we are wasting our time and energy, and we will be fruitless. If we are only a form of godliness and not authentically connected and communing with you, your gospel will be restrained and rendered powerless. And people will be lost because we're not making you visible. Without the power and warfare our prayers could be, the minds of those who don't know you will remain blinded and deceived into a hopeless future without you. Father, please help me discover the desire and passion for prayer by discovering or rediscovering what it is, and maybe more importantly, what it isn't. Let this be an exciting and creative journey of discovery. Be in this conversation, Father. Let your thoughts and desires come through. Let these fingers tap out your words. Let my thinking be overridden as your thoughts come through with flashes of revelation and light I didn't plan for or expect. So in my mind, this is what prayer shouldn't be. A burden, a duty, a list, work, heavy, lifeless or boring, a performance, all about me, something that brings a sense of condemnation or not being good enough or spiritual enough or disciplined enough or faith-filled enough or anything that speaks of our lack. Something in which we have no expectation of change, or worse, a sense of disappointment, discouragement, doubt, double-mindedness or disbelief. It shouldn't be asking without listening. It shouldn't be something which limits and contains you, Lord, making you the size of our meagre comprehension and faith with little or no expectation of the impossible. Something that reduces you to the limits of our thinking, resources or circumstances rather than the size of our imaginations, attuned to your presence and creativity regarding any situation. It shouldn't be something disconnected from or opposed to your character, nature, priorities or desires. Something that leaves us lukewarm about you and your mission in this world, rather than hearts on fire for you and your passions. It shouldn't be anything that questions your love and goodness, anything that diminishes the expansive, expressive, creative, almighty being that you are. Maybe this is what it could be. A pause, a sigh of relief, an attentive ear, a discerning eye. Growing connection and relationship, assurance, attention and the absence of distraction, sharing and hearing, a mutual exchange, communion. A silent scream, a groan, tears running down cheeks. Father and child, acceptance, grace, comfort, gratitude, intimacy, delight. The handing over of a burden, courage, encouragement, forgiveness, freedom, hope, healing, inspiration, passion, restoration, salvation, security, shalom. Clarity, direction, guidance, light to our feet. Remembering and calling in a promise, a question, an answer. Powerful and effective. Sustenance and growth, God's words incarnated and fruiting. A song, a poem, a story, journaling, creative writing revealing your love and goodness. Creativity unleashed as we draw close to the Creator in solutions, in strategies, in the arts. An opportunity to imagine and see how you see the impossible made possible. Power, glory, awe, worship. Supernatural gifts and provision released. Tongues, prophecy, miracles, signs and wonders. Awareness of the supernatural realm. Angel helpers. Protection from the lies and schemes of an enemy. A war cry. The absence of fear or anxiety. Ceasing activity and resting cupped in your hands or sheltered under your wings. Freedom from stress and striving. Silence. Presence. Waiting, trust, enlargement, expectation, faith, fulfillment, joy. Transformation of a person, circumstance or place. Transformation of me to be more like you. And of course, the million-dollar question is, how do we get from what prayer is not to what prayer could be? And for each of us, we've got a journey to make with that, because it's not a one-size-fits-all answer. Every relationship with God is unique, just as every friendship is unique. My relationship with Nikki is different from my relationship with Debbie. Nikki's relationship with me is different from her relationship with Naomi, and so it goes on. Of course, there are some of the same elements present in every good relationship. Trust, love, encouragement, honesty, loyalty, appreciation, generosity, a desire to see the person thrive, and helping and serving them where possible for their empowerment. Forbearance and forgiveness when needed. All these things are present in all good relationships and operate mutually in every good relationship there is. All these things are also found in relationship with God, with one important difference. It's not a relationship of equals. He doesn't have the same mind on things that we have. His ways are not our ways, and he doesn't need us in the way that we need him. His love and unselfishness towards us goes beyond anything we could ask for or imagine. Individually, he is Father, and we are his beloved sons and daughters. Corporately, he is our Father and the source of everything we need to live peacefully and well. He is the provider of our daily needs and the protector from our enemies. He's the forgiver of all our wrongs and mistakes. All this we know from the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, 9-13. But not only is he Father and the most loving one that we will ever experience, he is also the totally awe-inspiring, glorious, mighty, powerful one, and I'm wondering if we need to give that aspect more attention. Perhaps we've become so familiar with being children, we fail to remember his sovereignty and majesty. Perhaps we've come to presume upon his endless grace and blessing upon us, losing the mystery, wonder, and awe. Awe over the fact that the creator of the universe, the one in ultimate control of everything, the one who has heaven and earth and the keys to life and death in his hands, chooses to speak with us as friends and invites us into an ever deepening relationship and revelation of him. If we faded in our awe and worship, may we admit it and cry out to God to take us to that place again, further and deeper than ever before. And this too is my prayer. I'm in no doubt that if we each take care of our individual relationship with God, we will have something to offer in our corporate times, when we come together with that assurance and attitude. We will come in expectation of greater things in our togetherness, and we will make our contribution to that end. If we each allow our childlike selves time and space to create and play with our Creator, who knows what creativity could be released into our corporate prayers and outcomes. I spoke a bit more about this in my talk on creativity last term, so you can always look at that. Whilst pondering these things, especially over the last few months, God has dropped a few things into my heart along the way. One such time was when I was having a discipleship group with Naomi and Jim in July. Naomi happened to mention that she'd been thinking about a particular verse from Song of Songs, and it stuck with me ever since. Song of Songs 8 verse 5 says this. It's from the Contemporary English Version. Who is this young woman coming in from the desert and leaning on the shoulder of the one she loves? I felt strongly that God wanted me to include that verse into this talk somehow, but I didn't know quite how it fitted with the subject of prayer. Clearly, it's about a new married couple who emerge from the desert, from the wilderness times they've been in, and they come to the bride's hometown. And the people there are the ones impacted by her return, and they ask the question that we've just asked in this verse. I let my imagination go and tried to picture the scene at the couple's arrival. Who is this we've never seen before? We thought we knew her, but she is changed, different, brighter, lighter, somehow aglow, carefree and confident as she enters the town on the arm of her companion. Leaning into him, walking in perfect step with him, eyes clear and sparkling, she has found her way, her purpose, her reason for being. She is to love and to be loved by him. Now she comes to her hometown, to friends and family, keen to introduce us to her beloved, the lover of her soul, to let us know the secret of her transformation. Oh, might we also know a love like this. That's what we want, isn't it? City life, we want people to be asking us that question. We want them to be noticing our relationship individually and collectively like that. It's obvious that the bride and groom are captivated by each other. The bride has great affection for her beloved, and she depends on him. She walks in step with him, not running ahead, not dragging behind. She leans on him, knowing it's his strength, not her own, and his guidance that has brought her through and up from the wilderness. The wilderness is a remote and inhospitable place, but their love made victory possible in the midst of the trials it presented. Their coming up from the wilderness together shows the trial, or maybe the lesson, is over and learned. Even, or especially in the face of her own weakness, the experience has matured her and enabled her to rest and put the full weight of her trust in and on the one she loves. Knowing and remembering his faithfulness and blessings throughout her journey since first being awakened by his love until this present moment enables her to rest secure in him for her future. So now she comes to her people and loved ones, leading her beloved to them, wanting them to know the same saving grace and love that she enjoys. Then it clicked and I realised the connection God wanted me to make with this verse and this topic on prayer. I see now that this is the posture of prayer God wants us to know, the posture of leaning on him. It's a position we must recover, discover, during this wilderness time that we're in, this liminal space, until we reach the threshold of a new dawn for us, a city life. Then on the 9th of August, as I continued to get these thoughts on paper, Pam McKenzie posted on the Rust's WhatsApp group, as their family's over from Tanzania and in the midst of some challenges and trials, we set up a group to input them at this time, support and encourage them. And she posted there a song to encourage them. The song is by Ruth Fazal and is called I Trust You. The lyrics are, I will trust, I will lean, I will say you are my God. Who can know the way you go but those who choose to follow? Paths unseen, ways unknown, hidden in the heart of God. Dreams that have yet to be dreamed are only realised in following. Treasures held, waiting for the ones who dare to choose to trust. All we need provided for to do the mighty deeds he calls us to. Simply looking to the one whose beauty far surpasses all, why would I decide to stay when Jesus, you beckon me to follow? I will trust, I will lean, I will say you are my God. You can know the way you, who can know the way you go, but those who choose to follow. Forever faithful, you will lead me. That certainly could be a city life anthem at this time, couldn't it? When we left 286 and began this prophetic journey we find ourselves on, the first call from God was that he wanted our hearts and his church, his priesthood of believers, back, and it would take a hard reset to return us to first love of him. When I was preparing for our prayer and fasting day in June, praying for the City Life family and our journey, I came across this quote by Dana Candler from IHOP. She was speaking on return to first love, and she said, as God awakens our hearts to see his beauty and affection in a new way, our hunger and longing for him also awakens. Love and longing go together. You can't have true love without longing. We cry the prayer of Ephesians 3, to be knowing the full dimensions of God's love, although it is beyond our understanding in breadth, width and height. Answered prayer from a place of acknowledgement and repentance of called passion for him sees a return of the aching and desire, a hunger and a thirst for him that will not be comforted except with God himself. These yearnings are born of the Spirit and they alter the course of our lives and change our trajectories as they get to the bottom of our affections. God has not altered his purpose to answer and fulfill the longing he has marked us with. When he wants to draw us closer to himself, this is the ache he pulls upon. Longing and desire are the painful parts of love, the sides that hurt in the delay, or the need for more, unsatisfied with anything less. Our longing testifies to him as our source of satisfaction and won't be complete until we see his face. God wants us to press through the delays we experience, still believing, still desiring, still longing for his fullness with an open, not guarded heart. This is Jesus's inheritance, a lovesick bride, a yearning church. He has set his heart upon it, prophesied it, and jealously works within our hearts by his Spirit to bring it forth. He calls us to come to him, to drink and be satisfied that our souls might live, to find his love better than every other pleasure. This again reinforces the posture of prayer, the loving, the longing, the leaning, the trusting required to make this journey that we're on. If our passion for him has called, if we don't feel we've got what it takes in us to make this journey, let's just acknowledge that and ask him to put the desire for nothing less in our hearts. This is where I'm coming from. This is my prayer. I realise I've spoken on the subject of prayer from a very personal perspective and hopefully a prophetic one for us as a church family in this season. I've tied it into the rediscovery of first love of Jesus relationship, which will impact, empower and transform our praying and our witness in the world. I've asked us to be honest about the state of our relationship and prayer lives and to turn to God and ask him to reset us in all the ways he needs to, in order to cause us to long for him, lean upon him and trust him for our future security and our kingdom fruitfulness. This may mean offering him our disappointments, our discouragements, our distrust. It may mean turning from any cynicism or unbelief. There is no condemnation, only invitation. I've looked at what our prayer lives individually and corporately could be like when we pray from a place of security and trust. What I haven't done is given you many how to get theirs. This is because there is a personal creative journey for each one of us to make. God has called me back to the garden we began creating 7 years ago, something I've neglected, but that he has faithfully kept tended, and he's even planted some new things there for me to discover. He's invited me to keep imagining and writing with him. These things are my ways of knowing him more deeply. They are my prayers. Let's just do it. Keep praying in all the many ways there are, and find those that work for your relationship with him best. Then let's just see what our beloved will do. The Rowland family have created a space in their homes to pause and pray. I'm hoping that Rosie will tell us about that in her testimony in a few minutes. I've asked her and a few others to give some examples of how to pray their way, in the ways that God has invited them into to build a deeper relationship with him. So be encouraged by their stories. You can watch them, as I say, after this, but I'll just end first with a prayer for me, for you, for us. Jesus, bring us through the wilderness and up from this place, knowing you as our beloved, laying our full weight of trust upon you. May we be reliant on your strength and power, letting you lead the way and keeping perfectly in step with you. In this time of trial, with both its meanings, relative difficulty, and also the opportunity to experiment, explore, and try out new ways of being, let us lean in and lean on you. We will find you more than able to support us and those things we carry, especially our families. Let us discover the position of prayer that comes from a deeper revelation of you and a longing for more of you without agenda. Lead us to delight in you for who you are and not only for what you do. Fill us with resurrection, life and joy from being with you, and then let us come up on your arm into our homes, our people, our city, to share you there. May our loving relationships with you and one another cause others to say, who is this city life coming up from the wilderness, arriving in our neighbourhood, leaning on the arm of the lover of her soul? Who is she? Who is he who has transformed her? We desire to know such a love. And I hope we can all say amen. So these notes will be on the church app, they'll be on the website along with the full notes and questions and discussion points that I've included for you to talk about in your groups. And there's also some further scriptures to ponder, all the well-known ones on prayer, so they're written there as well. And don't forget to listen to the testimonies. I'm sure they'll be an encouragement to you. So let's just get praying. Let's just keep going and see where God takes us. Love to you all.
So for the question of what helps me connect with God, I would say three things. So the first thing is being near the sea, and being at the beach really helps me feel connected to God. The second is listening to people that really inspire me. So I listen to podcasts or sermons through the week, and I find that really helps. It feels like a treasure hunt, kind of finding bits of gold that God's giving me. And the third thing I would say is probably using gifting, so serving. So like, for instance, we do youth worship in our house, and it is such a privilege to like be with the young people and worship with them. And actually that helps me feel really connected to God, because I feel like I'm actually like, pushing in, using gifts and getting to spend time with other people worshiping.
Hi. My name's Debbie, and I was part of City Life Church for 30 years, and they helped me through a very difficult period of my life when I was particularly unwell. I suffered from lupus and later cancer, but I just wanted to share this story with you because I know you're looking into prayer in a quite new and dynamic way. So one day when I was sitting in hospital, I was feeling really, really ill, and I was just sitting there and I prayed and I said, God, am I waiting to die? Is that it? And I really felt this presence sit by my side on the bed, and I could literally lean into him, which is what I did. And no words were spoken. I just felt at peace, and I just felt whatever happened, it was okay. And I'm still here, so it was okay.
We've got a passageway in our house, which is a little bit wider than normal. And as a family, we're using it in as a sacred space. My plan had been that we could have some practical storage there until one of the family said that she would like a comfy chair in that place. We were talking about it and Vic said, well, this is a liminal space. And we've been thinking about the concept of liminal spaces, which are things like our daily transitions and journeys, and also the bigger transitions of life and the changes in life that we all go through. And they can be often slightly stressful times or uncertain times, unsettling. And yet also those times can be opportunities for creativity and growth. So we've gone with the comfy chair idea. At the moment it's a beanbag. And we've painted the walls the colour of misty sea skies, which speaks to me of God's faithfulness and love and grace in the middle of mystery and uncertainty. And then we're starting to decorate the space with objects which inspire rest, prayer and creativity and reflection. All of us enjoy walking through the place every day, and sometimes one of the family might sit and pause here for a moment or two to read or reflect or pray or write or draw. There are a few jigsaw puzzles there as well, which sort of symbolise spaciousness. And this daily walk through sacred space really is a statement of intent that in the middle of the challenges of our ordinary daily life, we would just love for our actions and interactions to be grounded in this sense of restfulness and prayerfulness.